Well, you just give me the word when it isn't early.
Okay.
Bryce, I'll call you up. Good morning. Wow. You're all awake and alert. That's awesome. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Awesome and most holy God, we have gathered here this morning to worship you, to praise you, to thank you, and to hear from your word. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us, that you would help us, Lord, and encourage us and provoke us to be the people you have called us to be and to do the things you've called us to do. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning and welcome to all of our guests. You are cordially invited to stay after. We have a lot of food out in the kitchen for you to partake in, so please plan on staying and enjoying that with us. And at this time, I'm going to ask Bryce to come up for the scouts. So, Bryce. Good morning. Brock's going to show you a short little film, little whatever you want to call it, clip. Thank you. And I would like you to take out a Bible in front of you so you have something hard to write on, and then in your worship folders, count what you're supposed to count up here, okay? You need to count. You can make the little slash marks and then, okay.
Don't take your shoes off,
please. They'll explain it here in just a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Awareness test.
Turn that up. Back up.
Okay.
Back up.
Where do we start? Okay.
This is an awareness test.
Yep.
How many passes does the team in white make? The answer is 13.
Stop it. Did y'all get 13?
Yeah.
You look what you saw, you counted, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brock.
Did you see the moon walking by?
Did you see the bear? Right through the middle. Right there he is. Exactly. What you look for is what you see, right? When you look for anything, you're going to find it. If somebody tells you don't look for red cars, what do you see all the time? Red cars. Because you got that in your mind. We'll get back to this in a few minutes. We've been looking at forgiveness for last week and this week and next week. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Last week I had Steve take this is granite and it's heavy. I had him come over here and I said, your back hurt. First, here's something you all need to know. We're family here and there is no holding back. It's all done in love. I had him take this and I said, this is a rock of offense. It's a grudge that you're hanging on to. It's the offense that you took, because we take offense, right? We take offense. And I said, you need to keep an eye on that and still go about your life. Now, how can you do that? You're constantly looking back. It's got your focus. And we've got to watch where our focus is. Forgiveness is letting go. It's releasing. Okay, that's the actual, it's to release. The Greek word means to release. You're letting it go when you set it down. Forgiveness. And we started talking about it, like I said, last week. Forgiveness is to flow from God. And it flows from a love for God and your neighbor. Who's your neighbor?
That's the question always. Who's your neighbor? If you watch VeggieTales, you'd know. Your neighbor is anybody that's next to you at any given moment. So when you're at work, your neighbor is that coworker that drives you nuts. When you're in line at Walmart, oh, worse. When you're trying to go through Walmart and that buggy in front of you, just they just stop to admire every little thing on the shelves. Or you're driving, or my favorite is 94, which we won't talk about. I don't have any problems driving on 94. It's everybody else. The love that we're to have is God's love that is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5:5 tells us that God's love is poured into our hearts. That love isn't not just poured there to be held there, it's to flow through us. We're to forgive. It enables and drives us to forgive one another, to forgive those things, the offenses, all that comes at us, the hurts. And we are, as Romans 13 tells us, 13:8, to owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. What's the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. As we discovered last week, or we looked at last week, sin is the failure to love. It's the failure to love. It's the failure to love God and neighbor. There are sins of omission, the things that I know I'm supposed to do and I don't do them. And let me tell you, we in the church are really good at those ones. We fail, I think, really to love when we don't share the gospel. We fail to love when we don't forgive. There's a whole list of things. But I think that's the biggest one we struggle with. And there's the sins of commission. God says, don't do it. And guess what? We went and do it anyway. We know we're not supposed to do this. I know I'm not supposed to have this attitude. I know I'm supposed to forgive those people on 94 that are driving me nuts. If they would just go if they would just go over the speed limit as much as I am. Could it be honest? No. Just come on. John Wesley said that sin is a willful transgression of the known will of God. You know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, or you know you're not supposed to and you choose to. It's something you choose to do. You're consciously doing something you know you're not supposed to, or you're consciously saying, not today. If you put it off, it's still not doing it. Our sins are debts. Failures to love God and neighbor as we should. The debt of love that we owe is one that we could never repay. But that debt was paid in full at the cross, where our sins were forgiven, and we now can be reconciled with and to and because of Almighty God. We've been working our way through Matthew. The title for all these sermons that we started with is The Kingdom, because the kingdom of heaven is all that Matthew seems to talk about. He's really pushing about the kingdom. He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom, and he'll go on, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? We're looking, and we've made it to the Lord's Prayer. And we are on verses 13 through 15, and we'll be there next week as well. And we were there last week. And I will encourage you, if you haven't seen or weren't here, to look at last week's sermon. It's online, both on YouTube and Facebook. So, Matthew chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. And forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people for the offense, their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. Nobody wants to hear those last two verses. Do God commands us to forgive. Period. It's not just here. There's, if you look at your further reading, there's a whole bunch of other places where we are commanded to forgive as we were forgiven. How do you forgive others? Because what does it say in verse 13? And forgive us our debts as we also, as we forgive, is basically what it's saying. How do I forgive my neighbor at work? I have to choose to forgive. But how are you doing it? Do you forgive by ignoring them? By belittling them? By holding a grudge? That's not forgiveness. Talking about them behind their backs or even into their faces? That's not forgiveness. We're called to forgive. Now, since today is Scout Sunday, and we have been looking at forgiveness, I am going to attempt to tie forgiveness in and with a few things of the Scout Law. Okay? Scout Law states that a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Steve, you missed a few. Where's he at? He's back in class. He missed a few, and I'm going, there's more than that, but I don't have them in front of me. I have to write them down because I wouldn't remember them. It's been a long time since I was a scout. Not back that far. Here we go. A scout is trustworthy. A scout is trustworthy because he tells the truth and he lives it. They live it. This is also to be true of those who follow Christ. Christians. Believers. Forgiveness begins with truth telling. Naming the wrong, acknowledging the hurt, seeing your part, and refusing to hide behind excuses. Oh, but Pastor, we'll get into it. You can't forgive what you can't or won't name. I don't know why I'm angry with that person, but I am. And I have the right to be angry. I don't have any rights. Not that right, especially when I'm told to forgive. You can't be trustworthy if you refuse to deal honestly with an offense. In forgiving, you are no longer focusing on the offense. You have released it and are not carrying it. If you're carrying a grudge or carrying an offense, it will bleed into every other relationship you have. Maybe not right away, but it will. It will. And you, in that process, are not going to trust anyone. Understand that. You can't forgive, like I said, what you won't name. You're no longer carrying it. You've released it. If your focus is on the offense, then you will look for offense in every relationship. In every relationship. Not only those in the workplace or wherever you were offended at, but at home. It carries through. Your unforgiveness, as I said, will bleed over into other relationships, turning into bitterness. Amen. Into bitterness. What you focus on, you will find. Think of the dancing bear. Because it's so true. In any relationship, what you focus on, you're going to find. If you were hurt by this individual, that hurt you're going to look for again. You've got to release it for your sake, not theirs. For yours. You're no longer carrying that. when you set it down and leave it with God. One who is trustworthy doesn't jump to conclusions. They seek the truth and not just their perception of the event. Oh, perception. I was a security specialist in the Air Force. And we took statements from, I helped law enforcement a little bit. And we took statements over a car accident. The people that saw that accident saw it from their perspectives and gave you their perspectives. Like we have the Gospels. They're all a little different because we're getting perspectives, right? They all saw the same thing, but what was important to them and what stood out to them were different from the others. That's what happens when you take a statement or when you see things differently. It's your perspective. Doesn't make it reality, but it becomes very real to you if you're not trying to be the trustworthy person you're called to be. Being loyal. Moving on. Loyalty doesn't mean blind allegiance. It means valuing the relationship enough to work through conflict, to work through it. Forgiveness is one of the primary ways loyalty is lived out when relationships are strained. I don't care where you are, you have relationships with other people around you. And there are times when they become strained because of different things. But if we're loyal to the relationship, then we'll try our best to work it out. You see, forgiveness protects relationships instead of abandoning them. A loyal person doesn't walk away just because it's hard. Forgiveness does not let the offense define the relationship. As Christians and the Scouts, our first loyalty, or especially for the Christian, is to our God and King and His will for our lives. And throughout God's Word, we are commanded to forgive and warned about unforgiveness, as here in verses 14 and 15. You're not going to be forgiven unless you forgive. Scouts are called to be helpful and kind. Scouts are encouraged to help and or to serve one another. That's helping, right? Even when it costs something. Do you think forgiveness doesn't cost something? It can cost you your pride. And in order to forgive, it will cost you your pride. Forgiveness is a form of service. It's a form of service. You absorb the cost of the offense so that both you and the other person can be freed from the offense. And I will tell you that it's mostly for you. Forgiveness is kindness at its most courageous. In all this, you are being helpful to bring healing. You are being helpful in forgiveness to bring healing to the relationship. Both Scouts and Christians are also called to be obedient. We had a discussion about this morning in class. Now, obedience isn't about rule following for its own sake. Okay? That's legalism. That's where I'm going down 94, my favorite subject. Going down 94, and I look down and I'm going way faster than I need to, maybe close to 94. And all of a sudden I hear that lovely sound and see some blue lights in my rear view mirror. I broke the law. I'm going to get fined or I'm going to get a warning. Probably going to get fined if I was going 94 in a 70 mile per hour zone. That's being legal. That's legalism in action. It's wrong. I broke it and I'm going to get punished for it. Period. Okay, that's legalism. Thank you for God's grace. It is about aligning with truth that shapes character. Obedience. It's about aligning with truth that shape characters. In Scripture, Forgiveness is commanded, not because it's easy, but because it reflects God's character. God is loving and merciful and forgiving. Praise His name. Forgiveness is obedience to a higher standard, one that refuses to mirror the world's, cynical or cycle of revenge, being cynical. We got to get out of that cycle of revenge. We got to get out of the ditch and get up where we need to be. It is fulfilling the command to love God and our neighbors. Forgiveness honors God and is obedience to a higher way of living, one that refuses to seek revenge, hold a grudge, or nurse a hurt. You know how we nurse a hurt? Do you know what she did to me the other day? You just keep rehearsing it. You're going over it. You go over it with your friends. You replay it in your mind. It's that time when, excuse me, ladies, when you're laying in bed at night and you can't sleep, that your mind's still going, and the rest of us are going. I don't know what it is. I'm just speaking from my own experience with my wife, but she really is thinking about all the things that happened during the day. Meanwhile, I'm unconscious. Watch it. Oh. A scout is called to be cheerful. Forgiveness frees the heart from bitterness. A cheerful spirit is impossible when resentment is festering. We can't let that happen. Forgiveness clears the emotional and spiritual debris that keeps a person from moving forward in their relationships with God and with others. And true forgiveness creates the inner freedom that makes genuine cheerfulness possible. If I'm not holding on to anything, if I'm not having any problems, if I've released all that, I have no reason not to be cheerful, to be filled with the joy that God has given me. Doesn't mean that I'm happy about things. Happiness happens to do with happenstance, what's going on around you. Moving on. Scouts are called to be brave and are encouraged to face danger, difficulty, and fear. Fear causes us to question what God clearly commands. Forgiveness is one of the most courageous acts a person can perform because it requires vulnerability. You're just letting yourself out there, right? It takes bravery to release anger, to surrender the bitterness, to lay down the grudge, or even risk reconciliation. And we'll talk about that as we go along in this series. Reverence. I didn't hit all of them. There's a lot of them out there. This is the last one. A reverent person respects God and seeks to live in a way that honors Him. Forgiveness is one of the clearest ways to imitate God's character. Forgiveness reflects the very heart of God. Forgiveness is reverence in action, aligning your heart with God, with the God who loves and forgives. Because it comes back to what He did for us. In this passage of Scripture, there are three things that Jesus places back to back. Forgive us as we forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if you forgive, your Father will forgive. If you do not forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. That's hard. Sounds harsh. There's a reason. He doesn't want us to carry that. It's for our own good. Now, I want you to keep in mind that verse 13 is not a new topic. He didn't just say, oh, okay, forgive one another, and today we're going to talk about temptation, and right back to forgiveness. In context, the temptation there, right? It's right in the middle. It sits between the two commands and the warning about forgiveness. the temptation in context would be not to forgive. The temptation is to hold on to that unforgiveness, to that grudge, to that hurt, to that bitterness. That's the temptation. Because if he can get you there, the enemy can have you there, then he has you right where he wants you. And if you think sitting on the fence is a good place to be, guess who built the fence? Wasn't God. He's not trying to keep people out. He's opened it up so that he made a way. One way. The only way. Jesus Christ. So, the temptation is not to forgive. To hold on to the hurt or offense. Now, as I said, it's the enemy that wants us to hold on to that. And it's him who would tempt you. He wants you to carry that grudge, to be bitter and unforgiving. It's not God. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, which I did not highlight for my own personal gain here. 13 through 16. No one is to say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers, my beloved brothers and sisters. Do not be deceived. By what? By the enemy. He wants you to be right where he would have you to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But one whom you forgive anything, this is Paul speaking, I will also forgive. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did so for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. What's he scheming to do? To keep you in unforgiveness. We can't. When that comes along, that you don't understand, Lord, what was done to me. You don't understand the hurt I survived through. You don't get it. He does. He does. He was betrayed by us, by one of us. He was sent here to forgive. And what do we do with that forgiveness? We ignore it. It is ignored. It is made fun of. There's a list of stuff. We probably grieve him every day as people. The enemy of our souls is out to kill, steal, and destroy. If he cannot tempt you to keep focused on the hurt, the offense you took, because like I said, you took offense, you choose to do it, if you do that, then he can destroy a relationship, kill family bonds, and steal your joy. The model prayer that we're looking at, because this is not a prayer that Jesus said, say this. He said, do like this. Pray like this. He gave us a model prayer. So we're going to follow that, right? We're not going to do that. We're going to do what he says. And this model prayer is teaching us to ask God to protect us from the temptation that destroys forgiveness. Ask for it. As the enemy tempts us to bitterness, self-righteousness, resentment, revenge, and to lie to ourselves that forgiveness is optional, that's a lie of the enemy, straight from hell. We are to forgive, period. Do I wrestle with that? Yeah. Should we? Yeah, but you know what else he's done? He's given us his Spirit who enables and empowers us to forgive. We are without excuse. There's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, though the two are connected, and we will talk about that next week. So we are asking for deliverance from the spiritual forces that oppose forgiveness, right? Just to get that clear. We need to understand that forgiveness is spiritual warfare. Not just an emotional struggle. Fear, pride, and anger are emotions that can be overcome in conjunction with the Spirit who enables and empowers us to forgive. When we start to understand this, this helps us to see forgiveness not as a simple moral duty, but a Spirit-empowered act of kingdom life. You're part of the kingdom, you'll be forgiving. It's the oil that keeps the church together. It's the oil that keeps us from saying things to our loved ones that we should not. Forgiveness. Now, back to counting basketballs. Or passes, I should say. If he can keep you focused on your perception of the offense, then you cannot move forward. You are still looking back, focused on the offense. Right? I can't move forward. Do you ever notice in your car that the windshield is great big and the mirror is just like this? There's a reason for that. You don't need to be looking back when we're supposed to be going forward. Backup cameras do help when you have to go backwards. But that's not the direction you want to be heading. Now, I do not want to belittle, as I was trying to get to, a traumatic event. Some of us carry wounds that don't come from small offenses. Some wounds come from people who should have protected us. Some were from physical, mental, and emotional abuse. Jesus sees these wounds before he ever asks us to forgive. I'll talk to Barney later. Back to forgiveness. Back to the wounds that are hard to heal. Victims of these wounds often hear forgive as go back, trust again, or pretend it didn't happen. That's not what forgiveness is. But what is being said here is forgive is something that we have to choose to do. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Like I said, we'll deal with that next week. It's not forgetting. Forgiveness is not instant. We struggle with that one. That one we can understand. Forgiveness is not instant. It's not a switch that all of a sudden, I'm good. I've set that over there. And the problem is that we set it over here and we're not focused on it. And then something comes up, and we do this. It's heavy. And we start carrying it around, and pretty soon we look down. I forgave for that. Ongoing. You may have to put that back behind you a dozen times. In a day. In an hour. But you have to let it go. You have to let it go. You see, forgiveness is a path you walk with God step by step. It is often a Spirit-empowered, ongoing process that comes from a daily choice to forgive. And forgiveness is not the same as healing, but it does begin there. Healing does begin the moment we choose to forgive. Jesus knows forgiveness is a battlefield. Understand that. He's right there. That's why he teaches us to pray, Father, protect me from the temptation to stay trapped in bitterness and deliver me from the evil one who wants to use my pain against me. Nobody's denying that what you are called to forgive doesn't cause you anguish. But it's causing you anguish because you're holding on to it. And that's hard. It's a hard truth to swallow, but it's true. So, are you struggling to forgive? You have to ask yourself that. Is there someone or something that you're struggling to forgive? Are you ready to forgive? Maybe not today. Are you praying about it? Are you asking God for His help in forgiving whatever offense or hurt, whatever it was? We're going to talk about reconciliation next week. But I want you to understand that there are people probably here who are called to forgive someone who is no longer walking this earth. You still have to forgive. It's not for them, it's for you. There are some people that you will never be able to go to because of circumstances. You're still called to forgive and to move forward, leaving it behind and not letting it become a focus. Forgiveness is not easy, but we are called to forgive. We are commanded to forgive. And I encourage you to come and pray. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. And as they sing this last song, as we sing it together, I want to ask you to stand. And we're going to, the altars are open. And for our guests here today, the altars are always open to come and pray at any time you want. Nobody's going to bother you unless you ask for that help. So would you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Holy and righteous God, forgiving and kind, long-suffering. You are God and Savior and King, and You have forgiven us so much, Lord. You paid the penalty for the debt that we could not repay. Help us to love, Lord, as You love. And Lord, we come today in prayer to You, asking, Lord, for the strength we need to forgive. In Jesus' name. God has forgiven you for every sin you ever committed. All you have to do is accept the forgiveness He offers. Am I off? Huh. I am always very quiet. As I said, they're family. God has forgiven you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the life He's offering you? Would you join me this morning in prayer? Lord, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your word. We praise You and worship You for the forgiveness, Lord, that is given to us through Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to forgive as You forgive. Help us to love as You love. For we need You. For apart from You, we can do nothing. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. We ask, Lord, that You bless the food. We thank You for it. We thank You for the time of fellowship that we're about to partake in. We thank You, Lord, for each blessing that You give us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Those children are coming out. So if you want food, get in line.